Today on our feature, The Greatest Stories Ever Told, we'll take a look at the parable of the mustard seed. Stay tuned, because we start now. You know, I really appreciate the fact that you're obedient and you listen to me when I say stay tuned. Thanks for saying, you know, that's pretty good. I say that at the start of the show and you stick around. I think that's really good. And I am so glad you did, because today on the program, we will look at the parable of the mustard seed. But before we do that, we'll read our daily mass readings. I'll tell you what, boy, here in southern New Jersey, we're just sitting around waiting for the snow to start falling. Looks like it's going to be a pretty decent sized storm over the weekend. Let's continue to pray for all of those who are participating in the March for Life. It's a very difficult situation if anyone is going down to the March for Life, especially due to the fact that in the DC area, they're not known for the way that they handle snowfall. I've been there before when it snowed. It is not pretty. So let's continue to pray that things will work out, that the Lord will somehow spare them any difficulties, and that the witness will go on. People will be able to stand up for life also. But we're going to get it here, but not anywhere near as bad. Well, we're going to get pretty bad. I think the prediction could be anywhere from 12 to 18 inches in the Philadelphia, South Jersey area. But fortunately, I don't have anything to do this weekend. We've got food in the house, so we should be set. Hope you're safe. And please, if you do have the need to go out and you are in the snow, please be careful, whatever you do. Let's see, what do we have going on? February the 10th, another reminder, I want to let you know that we kick off our Lenten radio retreat on February the 10th, which is Ash Wednesday. Here on the program, we'll be using Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover Jesus. Each night we'll read a little segment from the book, and we will also look at the daily mass reading. So I hope you'll join us, and I hope you'll spread the word to all of your friends that they are welcome at the Lenten radio retreat that we'll do here beginning on March or February the 10th straight through Easter. So that's what we're going to do. We will do a radio retreat. You could do something really special for this Lent, and remember, you know, not to be a fatalist, but you've heard me say this before, we never know if we'll have another Lent. So let's make this one our best one ever. That kicks off on February the 10th. If you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. You can also find some more information on my website, followingthetruth.com. I'm not asking anybody to sign up for the mailing list this time, although it's always a good idea to get on my mailing list, just in case I have to communicate with you. I don't send out too many emails, but in the event that I do, it's good for me to have a way to reach you. If you have any questions, you can email me and we can discuss it further. That's really all I have for now, except the fact that my new book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, will be coming out in just a few weeks. So if you're interested in finding more about that, check out followingthetruth.com. You can order all of my books there, and you can pre-order that one. So you might want to do that to make sure you get it as soon as it comes out. Technically, the date is February the 26th, according to Amazon. But from what I get from the publisher, it's going to be earlier than that. So if you pre-order it, you'll get it as soon as it comes out. It's funny, sometimes, and this has happened before, people get the book before I do. And I've had this happen with one of my other books. And I didn't believe it when somebody told me they actually had it. And I said, you got to post a picture, because I don't believe it's going to be out, because the word I was getting was that it wouldn't be out yet. But I'm very grateful for your support, and I really think you will enjoy the book. So if you'd like to pre-order it, I recommend that you do so as soon as you can. Beverage du jour time. Here we go. All right. Had this before, but I had to go back to it again. Mystic Monk Coffee Christmas Blend 2015. This is the special blend that they did. I know it's the Christmas season is over, but I was able to order some of this before the supplies ran out, and I'm really glad that I did. Now, if you happen to be a coffee lover, you need to check out some of the great coffees produced by Mystic Monk Coffee. Now, some of the blends that they have, in addition to the seasonal blends, they have a lot of different seasonal blends, They have Mystic Monk Blend, which is their signature blend. They have Espresso Classico with caramel and dark chocolate notes. Oh, that's a dark roast. Little Monk Blend, a mild half-calf blend of decaf and regular Arabica coffees. Royal Rum Pecan, caramel, hazelnut, Hermit's Bold Blend, which is one of my favorites. That's an extra dark roast. I like that in the morning. You're not going to see me drinking that later in the afternoon when I do this radio program because I'm going to be up all night. But it is really, really good coffee. They have Mexican. They have Vespers Decaf, which is one that I really like as well. I like a lot of these. And they also have an assortment of teas. They have what they call Monk Shots, which are similar to K-Cups. So if you're someone who has a Keurig brewer, that works perfectly for you. And they have assorted flavors for those as well. And they have an assortment of drinking mugs. They have, I believe they have shirts. They have religious items. Check it out, Mystic Monk Coffee. And you can get to their website by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. The reason that helps me is because anytime you make a purchase using the link on my website, and you can't miss it, right from followingthetruth.com, you can't miss the link, then it results in a little bit of a commission for me. And that helps me keep the program on the air and keeps my full-time ministry operational. I would also ask you to consider, if you're someone who purchases anything from Amazon.com, if you would just use the link, which can be found on my website at followingthetruth.com, click on the Amazon link there. Anytime you need to go into Amazon, that also generates a nice profit for me. Not a nice profit, it's actually a small profit, but every little bit counts. And if you're going to shop there anyway, it would really help me if you did that. And while you're at the website, please consider making a donation, either becoming a monthly sponsor or making a one-time donation. All of these things helps keep my program on the air and keeps my full-time ministry operational. That plus inviting me to your parish to speak, that's another way that you can help me. If you'd like to talk to your pastor, your DRE, or your adult faith formation director, let them know that I want to come out and give a talk. You can find information about my talks by visiting followingthetruth.com. And I appreciate all of your help, your prayers, and your support throughout the years. This is our sixth year on Blog Talk Radio now, and I'm really grateful that you show up every night and we can hang out and talk about Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church together. All right, I'm going to take one more sip of coffee, and then I'm going to lead you in prayer. Let's pray now and ask the Lord to bless the time that we're about to spend together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for giving us another day, and we thank you for letting us share this time together on Blog Talk Radio. This is a great privilege to be able to spend time with you, to turn to you in prayer. And Father, I ask you to speak through me on the show today. Speak your message through me, and please open all of our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. Father, we ask that you bless us and bless our families and bless those around us. Help all those who are sick, those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are struggling with doubt or despair, those who may be battling addiction, as well as those who are struggling financially. Please help them all and grant them your peace. We ask you also to increase vocations to the priesthood, the diaconate, religious life. And please bless all of our priests, our deacons, our religious sisters and brothers. Bless them all and allow them to continue to do your work in the vineyard. Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and we ask for her prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. My name is Gary Zimek. We do this show every Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio, and you're a big part of this show, so thanks for stopping by. If there's anything I can do for you, any questions that you may have, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. My goal this year, one of my big spiritual goals, is to grow closer to Jesus Christ, to become better friends with Him, and I want to help you to do that as well. So please stick around. The new book's going to be coming out in a few weeks. You're going to hear a lot about that on this show. We're going to be looking at ways to rediscover Jesus during this Lent. So plenty of good stuff coming up in the next few months. Jesus wants to be your friend. He wants to be your close personal friend. It is possible to have a relationship with Him. What we need to do is just do our part. There are things that we can do to ensure that we have a good relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to do my part to help you to become friends or close friends with our Lord. All right, let's take a look at the readings. This is Thursday, January the 21st. The first reading is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 18, beginning in verse 6. When David and Saul approached on David's return after slaying the Philistine, women came out from each of the cities of Israel to meet King Saul, singing and dancing with tambourines, joyful songs, and sistrums. The women played and sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Saul was very angry and resentful of the song, for he thought, "They gave David 10,000s, but only thousands to me. All that remains for him is the kingship." And from that day on, Saul was jealous of David. Saul discussed his intention of killing David with his son Jonathan and with all his servants. But Saul's son Jonathan, who was very fond of David, told him, "My father Saul is trying to kill you. Therefore, please be on your guard tomorrow morning. Get out of sight and remain in hiding. I, however, will go out and stand beside my father in the countryside where you are and will speak to him about you. If I learn anything, I will let you know." Jonathan then spoke well of David to his father Saul, saying to him, "Let not your majesty sin against his servant David, for he has committed no offense against you, but has helped you very much by his deeds. When he took his life in his hands and slew the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great victory for all Israel through him, you were glad to see it. Why, then, should you become guilty of shedding innocent blood by killing David without cause?" Saul heeded Jonathan's plea and swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be killed." So Jonathan summoned David and repeated the whole conversation to him. Jonathan then brought David to Saul, and David served him as before. This first reading is interesting because it reminds us of God's providence. We're going to talk later on in the program about how the kingdom of God grows like a mustard seed. The important thing for us to remember is that if the Lord wants something to happen, it's going to happen. And I think that sometimes we become a little nervous when we're praying for something or we're praying for a particular intention, and we start to think of the things that could go wrong, and we begin to panic. We think, what if this happens? What if the other thing happens? And we come up with a bunch of what ifs and become panicked that these what ifs might prevent what we're praying for from occurring. Well, when we do that, we lose sight of the fact that with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. It's very easy to lose sight of that fact, but we never want to do that. We want to keep in mind that if God's got a plan for something, that plan will happen, and we can relax. And if it doesn't come about, well, then it wasn't God's plan. You know, and I think sometimes if we could just take a step back and think about that, we would be a lot more peaceful in life. But this whole story of David and Saul, and we see this jealousy developing because Saul is jealous of David. Because Saul turned out to be someone who wasn't following God's will for his life. He wasn't a godly leader of his people. He started doing things that didn't please God. And as a result, the Lord said, David, I want you to be king. And then we had this struggle. But if you notice, David's life was saved because of God's providence and the fact that Jonathan interceded to his father on behalf of David. Did you see that? And that's what we can remember, the importance of intercession, interceding for one another, and the importance of believing in God's providence for our lives. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 56. This really sums it up. This verse that we're going to pray sums up how we can be at peace. In God I trust, I shall not fear. If we do that first thing, if we really trust in God, then we won't be afraid. Have mercy on me, O God, for men trample upon me. All the day they press their attack against me. My adversaries trample on me all the day. Yes, many fight against me. My wanderings you have counted. My tears are stored in your flask. Are they not recorded in your book? Then do my enemies turn back when I call upon you. Now I know that God is with me, in God in whose promise I glory. In God I trust without fear. What can flesh do against me? I am bound, O God, by vows to you. Your thank offerings I will fulfill, for you have rescued me from death, my feet too from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. In God I trust, I shall not fear. It's a really pleasant message, isn't it? If we really trust in God, then we will not fear. Now let's take a look at the gospel, which is Mark chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. Jesus withdrew toward the sea with his disciples. A large number of people followed from Galilee and from Judea. Hearing what he was doing, a large number of people came to him also from Jerusalem, from Idumea, and from beyond the Jordan, and from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. He told his disciples to have a boat ready for him because of the crowd, so that they would not crush him. He had cured many, and as a result, those who had diseases were pressing upon him to touch him. And whenever unclean spirits saw him, they would fall down before him and shout, "You are the Son of God." He warned them sternly not to make him known. This is an interesting gospel passage. There is not one word of Jesus highlighted in this passage. There's no quotes there. But I just want to focus on the fact that Jesus withdrew toward the sea with his disciples. This gives us a little glimpse into the life of Christ, into what he dealt with on a daily basis. The fact that the crowds were constantly pursuing him and asking him to help them, turning to him, looking to him for his teaching. He had a busy life, and it was not easy for him because he did get tired. Remember, Jesus was fully God. He was divine, but he was also fully human. So some of the things that you and I struggle with, especially tiredness, being hungry, Jesus suffered these things as well. And this is something he allowed himself to do. He didn't have to do it, but he allowed himself to feel these things that we feel. So he knows what it's like to become tired. He knows what it's like to have the crowds after him all the time. But if you notice, he made it a point to try to get away with his disciples. And I think that's a lesson for us. It's a lesson for us to remember that we need some quiet time in our life. This is a message that we talk about. Typically, I'll bring it up using the Martha and Mary story. That's one of the most popular Bible passages that deals with this type of a situation. But make sure you make the time each day to spend some quality time with the Lord. When you first get up, that's a great time to do it. If you could possibly get to Mass, that would be wonderful. If there are other things that you could do, if you have a special prayer room, I would recommend that. If you could maybe have a little prayer corner in your house. You could put some statues up. You could put some pictures, some holy cards, things that remind you of the presence of the Lord. And having that special place is very helpful when it comes to your spiritual life, because you have that sense of this is where you talk to God. If you got your special chair, if you have some sort of a kneeler where you can kneel down, whatever it is that works for you. For some of you, it might even be your car. And that's the place that you talk to the Lord. And you start to have that sense of, I'm in a holy place now. This is where me and the Lord communicate with one another. And it's important to do that. So I recommend you do that and make it a point to spend some time. You're going to have to force yourself to do that, because it doesn't always come easy. We don't always find it easy to be able to get away and spend some time with the Lord. But if you don't do that, you're going to really cut yourself off from communication with Him. And if you want any kind of a quality relationship with our Lord, you're going to have to make that time. Good relationships don't just happen. And that's one of the important things that we all have to realize. If I'm really going to become close personal friends with Jesus, I've got to make a point of spending time with Him every day. So please continue to do that. Get away from the craziness of the world. And you don't have to do it for long, but just make it a point to spend some time each day with Him, quietly in prayer. Let's talk now about one of the greatest stories ever told. This is a feature that we're doing every Thursday on the program, The Greatest Stories Ever Told. We look at one of the parables of Jesus. We analyze it a little bit and look at how it applies to our lives. Today, I actually have two parables here, the mustard seed and the leaven. Let me just read these. We have a passage from Matthew's Gospel, Mark's Gospel, and Luke's Gospel. Let me read them all. They're relatively short, and then we'll discuss them. First comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 33. Another parable he related to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard, which a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the largest of garden herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the sky come and dwell among its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until the whole was leavened." All right, now that's one version of this. Let me read the next one, and then we'll talk about them all. This is Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. He said also, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we illustrate it? It is like a grain of mustard, which, when it is sown in the ground, though it is smaller than any of the seeds that are in the ground, yet after being sown, it grows up and becomes the largest of all garden herbs, and puts out great branches, so that the birds of the sky can lodge in its shade." And finally, Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. And he said, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard, which a man took and sowed in his own garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the sky lodged among its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until the whole was leavened." Now we see this parable and these different versions of the parable, one referring to the mustard seed being planted, starting out as being very small and then growing. And the same thing we see with the leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until the whole was leavened. Now, let's see if I can find some explanations here. I mean, there is a general explanation, and it's really that you and I are called to do what we can to help the kingdom of God on earth to grow. So we're going to share the good news with other people and do what little we can and plant these seeds along the way And eventually, God will water the seeds, and he will allow them to grow. It's not us doing the work. We're doing part of the work. We're just planting some seeds. And even if it's the small, little things that we do, the Lord can and will bless our work and do great things by multiplying what we do. But our job is to do whatever little we can, to share the good news, to be nice to people, whatever it is, and to not become overly concerned, that we don't know enough or we can't do enough. And that's what happens a lot of times. We start to become discouraged because we think it's all up to us. It's not really up to us at all. It's up to the Lord. We're just planting the seeds. We're just doing what little we can. The mustard seed, very small, very small. Did you ever see a mustard seed? They're really small. They're really tiny. I used to have some around the house, but they're very tiny. And they grow up into a very large plant or large tree, whatever you want to call it. The church has been growing for 2,000 years. The church will continue to grow. When you look at the Lord, when he started his church, he had 12 apostles. Those apostles were the predecessors of our current bishops. There were no priests at that point because we just had the apostles who were priests, but they were bishops. They were leaders more so than they. There wasn't the structure that exists now because the church wasn't that big. But as the church grew, we had bishops who would ordain priests, and the priests would be the helpers of the bishops. And that's the current structure we have now. But the church is worldwide now. It wasn't worldwide back in our Lord's day, but that was always the goal. And it took years to develop, and that's what happened. So when we look at the mustard seed and the leaven, this book that I've been using to read these stories from is called The Greatest Stories Ever Told, The Parables of Christ, says this: the symbols of the mustard seed and the leaven very aptly illustrated in different ways the church, which our Lord was then establishing. The first showed the wide, invisible extent to which that new kingdom would ultimately attain, and the second, the internal transforming energy, which its influence would at length exert on the minds and the hearts of men everywhere in the world. As the seemingly insignificant mustard seed, smaller in the beginning than other seeds around it, grew more rapidly than others and finally reached much greater proportions and became a tree to which birds of the air could come for rest and nourishment, for protection and shelter, so it was in a spiritual way with the gospel, seed, or teaching of Christ. This latter began with one who was born in a stable, and of a poor mother who was reared in obscurity, who lived in poverty, who had few friends of no special influence, who was opposed by many and powerful enemies who died, and whose immediate followers were all devoid of everything that makes for material and worldly success. And yet, despite its beginnings, the Church of Christ was destined to have a worldwide development and extension, and to become a religious society to which men of all nations would have recourse to find shelter, nourishment, and peace for their souls. Isn't that amazing? So the church has grown through the years because, just like we saw with our first reading today, this was the Lord's plan. Even though there were people, there were some nasty people who tried to get rid of the church, who wanted to put Christ to death. They thought that was going to be the end of it. But we see, when the hand of God gets involved, all kinds of really, really good things happen. So that's critical that we continue to trust in God's providence for his church and really in our lives too, because we see the great things that happen when the Lord gets involved with our lives. Now, thank you for joining me today. I'm just about out of time. Tomorrow, God willing, I plan to be back here. Hope you can listen. We will talk about some pro-life things tomorrow. Oh, well, please continue to pray for those going to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. I know a lot of dioceses have canceled, but continue to pray for an end to abortion. We'll talk a little bit about that on the show. We'll look at Sunday's Mass readings. And we'll also try to talk about getting personal with Jesus. A lot to cover tomorrow. Hope you can join me. Have a wonderful night. God bless you.